class. So I think it's about to turn spring again, hopefully. That's enough cold weather. I built a fire the other night. It felt really good. So Danny, come get us started.
Yeah, I like that it's getting ready to turn spring again. We've had about enough of this chilly weather, haven't we? Okay, well, good morning, each and every one of you. It's good to see your happy faces this morning. And we're happy to have with us David and Carol Kay Harrison. First time in here this morning, so we hope you enjoy the class. And just good to have you with us. All the rest of you look like normal visitors we have. How's that? Anyway, good morning to you, and it's a beautiful day out there. I know it was a little chilly this morning, but it should be warming up, and the sunshine is great. And I know the predictions are rain for most of the rest of the week, but don't let that hamper today. Let's have a good time in the Lord. So let's go over a few things here this morning. For the announcements for Monday, the 8th of April, that's tomorrow, through the 10th, which is Wednesday, we'll be having revival with Kenny Baldwin, and we really look forward to that. And excited. We've thought about this for some time in anticipating him coming. So we'll be looking forward to that each night. And then next Sunday is going to be our MVP Sunday, honoring the public servants. And so we want to make them know that they're welcome here. And we just look forward to that. But on Thursday, 4/18, now that's 2 weeks away, we've got Ladies Bible Study. And then on Saturday, 4/20, we've got the Quilting Circle. So y'all that are participating in this, just remember those dates. And you can look in your bulletin and maybe stick that on your refrigerator or something to remember those dates coming up. Let's get right to the prayer requests. I don't know if many of you have heard this or not, but Bob Daniels is back in the hospital, and his cancer is back. So we're praying for Brother Bob. And I think he's supposed to be in the hospital all week. We don't know beyond that. So anyway, keep him in your prayers. Also, Carolyn Hodges, who usually sits right here, Carolyn's been out for a week or two, and she's in recovery now. I do not know what her situation was, but she's listed as being in recovery. So y'all pray for Carolyn. And then Ron and Wanda Huskins is still needing prayer. They are both having issues with their health. Randy and Pat Scalf still having issues. And of course, Pat Shaw, Brother Joe's wife, she's still having things going on. And we're praying for Francis Lawson, who is still having issues with her recovery from the heart surgery that she had had back in December and January. So we'd also like to offer our condolences to Rick Duncan, whose wife Rhonda went home to be with the Lord this past week, and also to Emily Price. Her grandmother, Ella Jackson, went home to be with the Lord. So we want to pray for these folks and keep them before the Lord in prayer. And is there anyone else that may have a prayer request this morning? Yes, Miss Pam. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm hard of hearing.
The
Okay.
For the loss of their grandmother, Kathy.
Okay, the Davis family and the loss of their grandmother, Kathy. So remember this family. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's the Cole sisters. Y'all know them well, so they've had a lot of problems and trouble this week. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, let's pray for Brother Harrison then. He's still on chemo, and just pray for God's will in their life, that God would lead them where he'd have them to be, do what he wants them to do. Okay? Anyone else? Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, Miss Rita Fields, her chemo has quit working, and so that's a hard thing for her. So let's remember this and keep her in our prayers also. I did put her on the list, permanent list, so okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll let Brother Steve come on up here and tell us what the Lord's laid on his heart. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. And God, thank you that you are a God that we can come to. Lord, we can bring our prayers to you, dear God, and we know that you will hear and answer. And Lord, we do pray for these this morning. The ones we mentioned, dear Lord, some of the special requests this morning, we pray for Mr. Harrison, dear God, as he continues this chemo, Lord, pray that you will help him, God, and let his body be receptive to that, Lord, that it does a great work in him, Lord. I pray for their leadership from you, Lord, as to what to do, where to go. Father, we just pray, dear God, that you'll be with Miss Rita Fields, and Lord, that you'll bless her and help her. At this time, her chemo is not working, Lord, and I pray you'll bless her now and help her according to your will. Lord, we remember the Cole sisters. God, we pray that you will help them. They have a rough situation, Lord, and we pray that you'll bless them through this time and help and give them strength, Lord, as they face these obstacles, Lord. Father, we just pray for all the rest here. Lord, we don't want to forget all of our cancer patients that we keep on our hearts every day, Lord, and we pray for them. And God, we pray that you'll strengthen them and give them help. And Lord, remember these other sick ones that we've mentioned this morning also. Lord, bless Brother Steve as he comes. I pray you'll help him as he teaches. And then, Father, we pray you'll bless Pastor Herman in the morning service. And, God, we pray that if there be one here today that don't know you, that today they might hear your voice. And, God, ask you into their heart. Thank you now, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Cancer and recoveries and treatments and all that's very difficult. Personally, you know, I went through that with Debbie in two years. And it's tough. It's hard. So we really need to pray for these folks, that God gives them the strength. These folks are saved. They know the Lord. They know where they're going. But it's still difficult for the family members. for us personally. It's for the families. It's just a difficult thing for someone to be sick and to death, and but we can ask God to answer prayer, and He's capable of doing it. He don't have to do anything but think it, and it'll happen. And God's good all the time. The problem is we want to start blaming or asking why. And that was a hard thing for me because I, you know, being the engineer, I want to figure out and fix it. But it comes to the point you have to put it in God's hands. We can't fix it. And it becomes hard for us as doers and fixers for our family, for our kids, for others, serving others and helping others. We want to fix it. And we get ahead of God on that, and it makes it harder. So we have to give it to God and lay it down. Like I've told you before, you put all that. I used to carry a hard briefcase, but I got a soft satchel now. You put all those things, and like I say, put it in your briefcase, all those prayers and things that God needs to do, and you want Him to do it, and you lay it down at the foot of the cross, and don't go back and pick it up. And that's difficult because we're just sinners saved by grace. And the old devil will get in your head on some of these things. We've all had loved ones that have went on. I look across here and see so many people that was in the faith class and in this class and have gone on. Lovely people, men and ladies, that are there now waiting on us. And they're looking at Christ. They wouldn't want to come back. Anyway, that's enough of that. God's good all the time, folks. We got a revival coming up, and we need to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself, when I say we, I'm talking about myself too, are we ready to renew our faith? Faith in what? In God, but faith in life as we live it. We can get sideways on things, and we all got things in our lives that could be better. And I got into James there the other Wednesday night. The pastor was talking about James, and I went on and read on into James, and God gives us some direction there in some of those verses in James. And I bounced around a little bit. Let's look at James 1:17. What does true faith do for you? True faith. Now, as we just was talking about having faith to hand it to God and let Him take that. Well, we may need help with that. And in this revival, we may seek God's face and say, God, give me faith to trust You through this situation. We need to come to a revival as the preacher preaches and seek God's face and say, God, give me something. I need something this week. I've got things in my life that I need some help with. So we look at James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And we know that. We've read this verse before. But think about that. Every good gift is that, and we say, well, God's good all the time. Well, God is good all the time. Do you really, really get that to ground? Get that solid right here, solid. God is good. He has no wickedness around Him forever in the past, forever in the future. He's the same. He's immutable. He will not change. He is a good God, and He wants good for us. We can't go sideways in life and think, God, why did you cause that to happen? No, God did not cause that to happen. We live in a sinful world. The devil roams freely in this atmosphere. And if we get sideways just a little bit away from God, the devil will move into our hearts and minds and mess us up about things of life. So every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance, neither shadow or turning. I mean, understand those words. Look at each one of those words. Folks, dig in right there. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. There is no variance. He don't change. Verse 18 says, of His own will begot us, He us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, there's three things right there in that may be one of our problems, that we need to come to the revival and say, God, help me with my speaking, or help me to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's a lot of things we can get really upset in today's world. Just watch the news for 5 minutes, and you can get right real quick. I'm just an old mountaineer in East Tennessee. We're all just about liking all these creekers. I'm just an old creek boy. I can get right on some of this stuff, but I need to slow down. I hear somebody, and Pam hears it at the barbershop, and we're out in the community, and we hear somebody say off color something. They're for this or they're for that. They're for these rights, or they're for this abortion, they're for this or that. You know, we can get up in somebody's, I can get the hair on the back of my neck and get up on some of this stuff. We have to be kind. We have to be slow to speak. You know, my dad always told me, and I guess I didn't realize it till later on in life. That's the way it is, isn't it, when you're a kid. He said, son, you need to think, if you just slow down and just give it 10 seconds to think about what you're going to say. 10 seconds is a long time for your mind to process something. Most of the time, if you just give it 10 seconds to think about what you're fixing to say to somebody, you won't say it, or it didn't need to be said, or you'll say it in a kinder way. You know, maybe some of us need that. Slow to wrath. I mean, I don't want to get mad over everything. The world's walking around with a chip on their shoulder. I don't want to be part of that. Just drive down the road. There's people throwing their hand up and blowing their horn, and I guess I'm getting old, though. I drive a little slower than I used to drive. Instead of driving 90 miles an hour down 26 out here, I drive 70, 75. And you still got people going around you and want you out of the way. You pull right up behind you. And that bothers me sometimes. It's the world that we live in is not kind. And we need to stand up and be the ones that are kind, tenderhearted. We need to be Christ-like more. Is that what we need in this revival? Are you asking God what you need? God, I need something from this revival. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Just getting mad doesn't work, doesn't do any good. The key verse here in James is, In James 2:4, he says, "What doth it profit a brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" James 2:22, "Seest thou, hath faith wrought with his works? By works was faith made perfect." James 24:4 says, "Ye see how that they that ye see them how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the message." She got saved and had sent them out another way. So when she got saved, she immediately went to work helping God's people. So we see people that say they're saved, that say they're Christians. In verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Folks, the world sees us. They don't see the Holy Spirit unless we let it shine. They see how we act. The world sees how you act. The world sees how I act. Do I always act right in front of the unsaved world? I saw a homeless person sitting in front of the Dollar General the other day. Pam went in and I kept watching him. Some lady came out and she brought him a bag of food. And I was watching the conversation and God moved on me to talk to that man. To open up the conversation with him, I handed him a $20 bill. He said, "I don't want your money." I said, "Yeah, you need it. You can go buy you some food." I said, "Are you saved?" He looked at me and he said, "I've been run out of 3 churches in the last month." What? What in the world? Is that a work of faith? That somebody in some church somewhere said, "You're not welcome here." Now, buddy, I hope that never happens right here. If somebody comes in that door carrying a bunch of bags and stuff, you need to welcome them in and set them down and let them hear God's word preached. And I looked at him and I said, "Look," I said, "that's men. That's not God. That's how men act." I said, "I am no different from you. I am saved by what Christ did on the cross, and you are too. I am no different from you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace." He looked down, and he didn't have no answer for that. Folks, people act ugly that are saved, and there is no excuse for that. No excuse. Don't let it happen here. James 3:13 says, "Who is a wise man that endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom." Now that's saying a lot. Who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you. Now we're talking about wise in God's word. Really, this verse can be translated talking about a preacher to choose somebody that's going to work full time. Are you a full time Christian? I'm a full time Christian. Do we have wisdom? Do you have more wisdom about this book right here than most of the world? Yes or no? You know you do. most of us could talk about any chapter in this book with some kind of wisdom. Are you responsible for that wisdom to the world? Are you in a situation, of course it's talking about here public speaking in some of the translations, and then some of the translations say it's different, but the meaning is the same. We have the knowledge. We're endued with it. We've been taught it. You've been sitting here in this church under Preacher Lastly and good preachers for the last ever how long? I come here in 99 from a little independent church in West Virginia and started growing even more. Preacher Lastly was teaching rightly dividing the word when I got here. I never heard that in my life, right dividing the word. I knew about Clarence Larkin, but I never heard it broke down and taught like that. I grew from that. We all did. We all have. We've heard it two or three times since then before we retired. But have we used that in our lives in every way? What is God speaking to you about the revival now, next week? You have the knowledge to tell others and you're not sharing it? When you have a chance, even with family members? Even with somebody that's sick and go and share the faith with them. And then it says, let him show out good conversation. Now that conversation means a manner of life, how you live. Do you have an upright life? Well, praise the Lord, I don't see anybody in here that don't have an upright life. Now I don't know, you may be a scoundrel at the house. I want to live an upright life in front of the world. In front of my new wife. I want to be upright. Do you have a problem with being upright? Do you have a problem with living at the foot of the cross with all things of life? There's plenty of room at the foot of the cross. And the ground is so level there. None of us have problems that God hasn't heard before. Don't think that God can't help you with some of this stuff. The world's looking at you. The world's looking at this church. The world knows about Buffalo Ridge because we got missionaries all around the world. The sun never sets on our missionaries that we support. That speaks volumes, folks. In the church community, Buffalo Ridge is a star. Folks, what we have here is God blessed, God sent, and we get to be part of it. And don't we want to be right if we're part of such a ministry? I'm speaking to myself. Upright life. If we get ourselves in situations, especially we look at some of these young men that are in positions in this church, dealing with the teens, dealing with the choir, dealing with the bus, and on and on and on, they need to be upright. They're no different than me and you. They're just sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we put our pastor and these guys on a pedestal, and they should be. But these guys are no different. This preacher here is no different. We're just sinners saved by grace trying to do the right thing. We need to hold these men up. Maybe that's what we need to pray about. Maybe that's what we need to get revival next week about. Is holding our pastors and our ministers up all the time. I need to do that more. There's all kinds of little facets that we can get better at. And then it says, conversation in his work, the act of uprightness, the act of having pity on people or having feelings toward people that are right feelings. We should have no ought against somebody. We ought to not high-hat anybody, especially in the brethren. We ought to be upright, folks. Our works and how we act and what we say and what we do shows who we are. Are you the kind of Christian you want to be? With meekness and wisdom, it says. Now that says a lot. Be wise, be prudent, be gentleness, not noisy, not ignorant, not boastful. You ever heard anybody be boastful? I've heard people be boastful about their ministry. You know, just be kind and soft, be Christ-like. That's all God wants, is to be Christ-like, because he saved us. He wants us to be like him. This meekness, this wisdom is always, if we're going to be like Christ, and looking at these verses here, looking at this verse, in meekness and wisdom, always be meek, mild, gentle. And this goes so far in being able to talk to people. And be ready always to give a witness for Christ. Always be. Maybe that's what you need to pray about. Is get your little, carry a little New Testament in the car or wherever and everywhere you go. Be able to run and grab it and show somebody how to get saved. And if you can't remember it, that's okay. Just get in there and put the Post-its in there and mark it all up. And just go through the simple Romans road with them. That's easy to do. How many of us has got a little New Testament that we carry around like that? Maybe you need to get one. Maybe you need to pray about that. Maybe you need to get revival about that. The revival can do a lot for us. It's not only just about people getting saved, which it is, and that's important, but most of us sitting in this auditorium going to this revival next week is going to be old hats, just like we all are. And we've never arrived now. You may think you have. We've not arrived. I've not arrived. I can tell you that. I need wisdom. Truly wise men have a characteristic of a calm spirit. You know, some people, you can go and visit people. Sometimes you go to the hospital and visit somebody, and you come out more blessed than you was trying to go in and bless them, because they had such a calm spirit about them. They had accepted the situation that they were in, and they were asking God, help me and save me and cure me, and I'm ready to go if I need to go. And you get that calmness affects you, and you feel, wow. See, that's what we need to impart that to the world. We need a calmness and purity, a characteristic of a calm spirit. Not being boisterous and loud. And I mean, you've seen people come in rooms that are that way, and it's just that strong demeanor is just not tasteful. It's not what Christ wants for a safe counselor. I want to be a safe counselor. I want to be a counselor. Like I've told you before, in business, yeah, you can get fun made of you for a while. They'll call you names and a Bible carrier and a Bible thumper, and he goes to church all the time. Well, he won't go out to dinner and drink with us and all that. You get all that. But eventually somebody walks in the office and says, I need some help. Did they come to somebody else? No, they come to you because you were showing a strong demeanor. You were staying out of the filth of the world, and they knew that you went to church all the time, and they wanted help. You can get that. You can get that, and that's what we need to want. But we need to be a safe counselor. We need to be Christ-like. So let's look for some of these things. I mean, you know, the blatant sin and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, people need to get that right too. But us as Christians, us as saved ones, us as the meat of this church, we need to work on some of this maybe. And there may be something else that I haven't mentioned. So we need to come next week and look to what God can do for us. We need to pray that people will be saved. We need to pray that someone will come that's never been saved. We need to pray all that. But we also need to ask God, what can I do better? Is there something I can do better? Well, there always is. If you're really true with yourself and God, there always is something we can do better. I can do more prayer life. I can pray for the sick better, and on and on and on. Well, that's really all I have to say about that. That's all God has to say about that. I hope and pray that God used that to help you realize you need to get something a little better. Now, I've got to make an announcement that I really have been worried about. You know, my life has changed in the last 3 years tremendously. I'm about to sell my house, about to sell the farm. Things have changed. I want to go to England for a while. I may end up in Africa for a while. I talked to the pastor a week or so ago. And I'm going to give up this Sunday school class. It's been a long time. I've been teaching over 41 years. And I feel like that God has something else for me. Brother Harry, you can blame it on him. He's the one that got me hooked into missions. I've got a son on the mission field. And I want to go be there with him a while. And other things. I don't know where God's leading in all this, but I'm trying to follow the will of God. I can't argue with God on this. Pastor has plans. I'll be here next week, and Pastor's going to come and tell you his plans for this class. I'm not sure all he's going to do, but he's going to do something. So he was on board with this. And we've been praying, and he'd been praying about how to do some things here in church with all the Sunday school classes and all that kind of stuff. So he'll be talking to you about that. It's been my privilege to teach Sunday school here for the last 20-some years. I may not be gone. I'll fill in from time to time. I know don't where and I'll get taken to, but anyway, God's been good to me, folks. He's been good to my kids. I've got three wonderful kids that were saved early in life. You know, Katie and Shannon and their kids. All my grandbabies are saved. Maybe not the ones in England, they're too young. Charlie is the oldest one, but God's been so good to me all my life. And I'm not going anywhere right now. I may be gone for periods of time. Depends on how everything works out. I've got another coal mine that I think it's about to start that I got to tend to a little bit. But that it's not the kind of thing I have to be around for. But I love each one of you. And I've prayed often for everybody here. And I'm going to continue to do that. I'm just not going to be standing up front right here anymore on Sunday school. So I don't know what God's going to do with me here in this church. Pastor says, I said, I'm just letting God guide in all that. But I keep trying to add up how many years I've done this, but I think it's close to 42 years I've been doing Sunday school. So, and that's not saying I should quit. I mean, Pastor Leslie went on, I guess, 47 years, was it? 46 years? Yeah. I'm not done. Okay, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. And God, we just pray for this little passages that we read here in James, how works defines us as Christians and how we need to act and what we should do around the world and in our neighborhood. Lord, help us to be who we need to be to let the light shine for you. God, we love you and thank you for all you've done. Thank you for that shed blood on that cross. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.